Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope spins some sexy stories, we blow up the Big Bang Theory, and and Shane threatens to break up with me because I swear too much. Fuck it up!
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane!
And we are back. Yes, we are.
Right. Good start to the show. Good start.
Two weeks later. Well, everything is blowing up, as you often, all you listeners out there, as you know, we have three people who host the show. Jarrett, is my sound coming through okay, by the way?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, just making sure. Anyway, we have three people hosting the show, Jarrett, myself, and Adam. And guess what? Adam is not here yet again.
Oh, I thought it was me who wasn't.
Well, physically, you are here, mentally or not. Last night, about 10:30 or so, Adam sent this email, and I'm going to read it verbatim.
Do it.
He says, hey, guys, guess what? I'm still in VA. That must mean Virginia.
Maybe. I don't know. Could be at the Veterans Administration.
He's stuck there. I won't be home till 7:30 tomorrow. I don't know if that's AM or PM. ... Yeah.
Well, if it was AM, I would assume he'd be here.
Yeah, I doubt that. So I hate life. Have a fun show. So Adam leaves us high and dry.
Crowd not happy.
On our sexiest show of the since the inception of The Scope, really.
Yeah. Well, other than the first episode. That was pretty sexy.
Yeah, well, you could be the judge of that one. Yeah, I'm sad for Adam that he's just... Hold up, probably. He's hanging out with his mother in Virginia after a long business trip, so hopefully he will be back with us at full strength. But until then, we do have our regular fill-in for Adam, which he's almost a regular of the show now. That would be the robo-computer known as Adamatic.
Hola, my amigos. Como en la OS teams.
What?
What did he say?
I don't know. That wasn't good at all.
I am here to bring the sexy.
Okay. Good to know.
He's here to bring the sexy. Well, I'd be very curious to see what sort of tales he has to weave with R2-D2 and Hal the Computer from 2001.
Right.
I have Sexy 2.5 installed.
Sexy 2.5?
Yeah, he's a past us, apparently.
Well, he's up to date. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Downloads.com gives him everything he needs. So, as we've been teasing or talking about, this is episode 69, so we'll be bringing the sexy, as Adamatic poignantly pointed out just a minute ago. But until then, how about a little small talk with Jarrett and myself?
I feel like I need some sort of music for that.
Yeah, I know. Small talk with Jarrett and Shane. I wanted to talk about some of the latest goings-on on our Twitter/Facebook status. You know, that's where pretty much how Jarrett and I communicate nowadays, how we communicate with everybody else. Well, you know, like to tell what's going on in our lives. And, Jarrett had a very mysterious posting yesterday.
I did?
About people knocking on his door late
yeah,
at night.
That's right. I could tell this story.
So please tell this story, Jarrett. I don't really know what it's about, so I'm curious.
Right. So last night we're sitting around, Angie and I. We had been drinking a little wine, and we're on our respective laptops cruising the internet.
Is that what you're calling them nowadays?
Yeah,
laptops.
Exactly. Laptops. I got up for some reason. I don't know if I used the bathroom or what, but I was walking back to the couch and I heard like a single ding on the doorbell.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, well, that's kind of odd, but maybe I was bouncing on the floor or hit the wall or something. I don't know. Sometimes it is triggered randomly.
You are so rotund that you just bounce on the floor.
Well, I don't know. And I thought it was really weird. So I sat back down, and then about a minute later, there's the full ding dong. I'm like, what is this? It's like 12:35 at night or something.
Very bizarre.
What the hell is going on? Andy's freaking out, of course, because she just doesn't want to open the door to anyone she doesn't know.
So did you pull out your handgun?
No. I got up and I looked at the front door of the house and there's someone outside and he's like kind of like shouting through the door. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Ugh.
So I walk up to the door and I look and I can kind of see through this frosted glass pane that's in the door.
Yeah.
I can see a figure, right? And the guy's like, hey. I'm like, what do you want? I'm not opening the door. And he's like, I'm your neighbor from down the street. Now, mind you, I don't recognize this voice. I don't recognize this person. He could be anyone. Yeah, I'm not going to open the door to this dude.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, I don't know who you are. He's like, my uncle Carl locked me out of the house, and I need to call a cab. Can you call me a cab?
Uncle Carl sounds like a smart guy.
I'm like, look, I don't care what your problem is. Yeah, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but I'm like, there's a gas station a couple blocks down the road. Can you call me a cab? No, I'm not going to call you a cab. There's a gas station two blocks down the road. There's a gas station down there.
So did this guy, did he sound like he was high as a kite
like
or what?
He was a little drunk maybe, and Carl was pissed off at his antics and kicked him out. I don't know. So basically I sent him down the road to the gas station to call a cab, and that was the last I heard from him.
So did he stick around for a while, or once you suggested the gas station, was he a hop, skip, and a jump?
No, pretty much took off. I closed the curtains so he couldn't see in the house anymore, and that was that.
Did Angie?
Meanwhile, Angie had left the couch and was now in the bedroom hiding. I had to go...
Cowering in the corner with her sword.
Yes.
Just in case.
So I had to go and, you know, make sure, tell her everything was okay,
reassure her.
It was a very odd exchange. I never really felt like there was any danger, but I was, you know, of course, being very cautious. I wasn't going to open this door to this other fellow.
Young kid?
I don't know. Probably late 30s.
Asian?
It's hard to tell. I mean, with the glass there, all I could really see was kind of a blurry outline.
Yeah.
He had one of those mustard brown type canvas outdoorsman type jackets and
like a Carhartt type jacket.
Sure. And a baseball cap of some sort. I don't know. Might have had beer or cigarettes on it.
And a machine gun.
There was a machine gun. I could clearly make that out. It was silhouetted in the moonlight and looked like he had the 14-round magazine on it.
Very smart to not open the door.
And a scope.
Nice.
And a flash suppressor.
Nice tie into the name of the show.
And also a bipod.
Did Angie sleep well, or was she scared all night?
No, she was fine. It was, you know. I was manly. I took care of business, and she was very
her
happy.
Big teddy bear could turn into a growling grizzly.
It's really odd when you get into those situations where you have to kind of man up and be authoritative. How you really your voice can take on that like very authoritative, deep like get out of here. I'm mean business.
Like my
voice,
like my voice normally.
Typically, yes, exactly. in follow up to that, in a really unrelated event,
okay.
But. I had a visitor this morning too at the door.
Really?
It was not nearly as I guess I wasn't as cautious about it given the time. It was 10:30 in the morning and it was daytime, and it was an older gentleman with a Jehovah's Witnesses trying to get me to convert my faith. So this time I did open the door. I just said no, thank you.
Were you ever a Jehovah's Witness?
I actually was as a child.
So they came a call and
they
knew.
They came a call and I said, internally, I'm like, look, I know what it's all about. It's not for me. Just go away.
He's like, son, you've got a glow about you.
Oh, he's like,
there's something about you.
Hope I didn't wake you up because I'm sitting there with my sweatpants and my hair's all disheveled or whatever. I'm like, no, I've been up for a while.
How do you push somebody like that off? I mean,
as soon as he reached into his little satchel, he was like, I'd like to show you our two publications. I'm like, you're a Jehovah's Witness. I know how this is going down. So
I just said,
I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Thanks for your time. And he's like, well, hopefully, maybe not this time, but well, you know, maybe in the future or something. I'm like, yeah, maybe. And that was it.
Do you, you know, thinking back your childhood days, is there some sort of protocol is going door to door, like how far you should push it? You know,
I was too young to really be that involved with that. To me, it just was the part of the process that I hated the most
because
I had to go walking around these neighborhoods with my parents and the other adults, and I don't really know what was going on. Like, we're going door to door and harassing people. This is boring. I'm going to go watch cartoons.
I picture you with, like, your hair slicked back and, like, a little bow tie and jacket and short little short, not short, but like what? a navy shorts.
I don't believe there are any ties.
Maybe socks, a bow tie, like a red bow tie.
Oh, I did wear my my yachtsman cap. But other than that,
I've got one of those.
I know you do.
I think I would give a Jehovah's Witness consideration if they came to my house in a yachtsman cap.
And oddly enough, my mom had me wear clogs. I'm not sure if that was some sort of official uniform or if she was just had a sense of humor.
These big wooden clogs.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't know how many times when I hear those wooden clogs are coming that it's the Dutch Jehovah's Witness
exactly.
Breakoff group.
They're ready to give you their Watchtower and the Awake magazine.
you give a tulip to every person that signs up.
Yes, exactly, and a waffle, a Dutch waffle. I don't know what that is. But.
A windmill? I mean, is that sure. tie into? I don't know.
Also a dike.
I was going to say a levee or dike. We could give it, you know, we could definitely use those in this state.
And a red light district.
There we go. Joke gone way too far now.
That's what I do.
Really. I like how you tied into that sexy 69 episode.
Did I?
Yeah. The red light district.
Oh, okay.
I look forward to hearing some of your red light district stories. I'm sure you've got a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right. This is a geek-based podcast, so
right.
My guess is probably not a lot of those.
Oh, no. I have a sexy virus.
Oh, crap.
A sexy virus?
Yeah, he does, apparently.
Do we have a name of that sexy virus?
Does anyone know a cure for binary herpes?
Oh.
Binary herpes.
Ooh, that's trouble.
That might be a nice record album title.
binary herpes.
So, Jared, dealing with strangers knocking on his door. I'm dealing with cats knocking down things in my house. So,
yeah, I saw this message. I wonder what's up.
So, yeah, my wife, I get home yesterday with the child, and Carrie walks to the top.
This is your child, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I just, you know, sometimes I pick up random strangers, but this time mine.
Other kids need care as well.
Absolutely. Carrie walks up the stairs and she says, I've got three bits of bad news.
Oh, no. Number one, I've tumbled down the stairs again and have ruined my ankle.
And I have to say that I don't even remember what the first two bits of bad news were because the third one was
third
so
one was
bad.
The worst.
So she goes, and she goes, now, don't get too mad because it's probably your fault.
Oh.
She said,
you know it's bad when it gets prefaced like that.
So you can't get angry. But Turk, and for those of you who don't know, that is our new kitten, as I like to put him in parentheses, kitten, or quotation marks, depending upon
the... He's a wild beast.
But he is probably 10 months old, and he gains practically a pound a day. He's up to 15 pounds, and he's not a fat cat, an obese cat. He's just a massive cat.
What's typical for a cat?
I don't think 15... I think 15 pounds is a big cat. I think 10 to 11 pounds would be a reasonably sized cat.
Okay.
But this kid, he's crazy. He's going through his teenage years right now, and he's bonkers. Or, you know, early tens. He maybe is not in his teenage years.
Even post-op, he's crazy. Yeah,
he's probably not as bad, but, you know, he chases the other cats around constantly, jumps and bites and wants to play, but he's very aggressive. At any rate, Carrie said...
Hell of a Scrabble player, too.
Yeah, he's very good at spelling. It's always cat-related words, though, so
yes.
He's very limited. So she says to me, Shane... Turk got locked in the computer room, which, you know what? Here's the thing. Most people's computer rooms are just that. There's a computer, maybe a desk, maybe some office supplies, a paper shredder.
Books.
My computer room is more like my nerdly man cave. I have hundreds of action figures from the Star Wars collection.
And you also have hundreds of many spotlights mounted to the ceiling to highlight each one individually.
Yes, I have. You go there, your face turns into blisters because... But yeah, I mean, I've been collecting since I worked at Toys R Us in the early 90s. I've got G.I. Joes, I've got Transformers, I've got Voltron, Robotech, Simpsons, you name it, I've got it. And Carrie said, Shane, I opened the door.
Oh, no.
After I heard this cat meowing, the cat went running out. I peeked in, and then I quickly shut the door. You're not going to be happy.
It was that bad, huh?
You're not going to. So I walk in there, and Jared, it wasn't every figure by any means, but any shelf that was the lowest shelf.
Yeah.
Or the second shelf, he pretty much demolished.
Well, so I figured the high ones would be pretty hard to get to.
Yeah.
But.
And he actually got some of those. He did the
he made an effort. That's good.
The really expensive stuff not touched, good. But everything good. Else was all over the place. And
oh boy.
as a special treat to me, in the middle of all that, a big cat dump right in the middle of it.
Oh,
so,
he didn't dump on like Boba Fett's head.
So
or anything,
I got
did he?
So I got to clean it up. A Crimson Guardsman's leg was kind of touching it, so I had to like. Clean it, but it wasn't that bad.
Crimson poor guy.
So
I didn't know it was coming. You know, they don't cover that in Crimson Guard training.
Giant cat manure.
No, they don't.
And you know, since Turk is a 15-pound cat, he is his feces is like it's dog like. You know, it's,
oh god,
it's like man, you need some Charmin or something with that dude.
Wow.
So yes, I got to clean that up, and I was really not all that particularly thrilled about it.
Any theories how he got in there and how he got locked in, more importantly?
You know, I don't recall going in the basement in the morning.
Okay.
So I don't know how he got in there, if you want
to
know the truth.
Do you normally leave the door open?
I usually leave it cracked.
Okay. So he could get in there easy enough.
Yes. See, I mean, he could get in there. Now we're keeping it shut all the time. But I said to Carrie, I said, I think he might have locked himself in there. Oh, Shane. That's what my wife sounds like because she smokes 18 packs a day. Oh, Shane. That couldn't happen. Well,
she really needs to get that habit under control.
I was in the room today.
Yeah.
And I was doing some work. Mm-hmm. And Turk jumped in.
Yep.
And the door was half cracked. And he stood on the folding chair that was near the door.
Yep.
And I actually saw him lunge towards the door and push it halfway shut. So I think it is possible that he might have locked himself in there by goofing around. So because I have like a Wii controllers next to the door. So if he was batting at that or something like that, he could have locked himself in.
So do you know if the door was closed all the way or was this close enough that he couldn't open it?
I believe it was closed all the way. Wow. But he's 15 pounds. I mean, he could not only could he close the door all the way, he could push through the door all the way. He's so heavy. So last night I spent a couple of hours cleaning that stuff up and. This may say something about the state of mind of my daughter. She was so excited to go in there because I said she could set up the Simpsons guys because she likes to go in there and just look at the action figures and sometimes pick them up. And I actually put her to work and she set up all of the Simpsons guys well before I got everything else set up, by the way.
Wow.
So
feature collector. I'm sure Carrie's very happy.
Everything ends in a glorious manner.
She's going to want a wall of shelves in her room where she can put her ponies.
Yeah, I'm sure the
Barbies or her Polly Pockets or whatever the hell the kids are into now.
And then shortly after that, I will be filing divorce papers. Or she will be filing divorce papers. I'll be signing them because if anything like that rubs off on my child, I will pay the full consequence, which will be living by myself.
Wow. That's some strict rule that she's put down.
Yeah, I know. She's pretty tough. So that's the catch-up. That's the catching up with Jared and Shane moment via Facebook/Twitter.
I think we had some good stories, though,
honestly. Yeah, I think, hey, why not? Adam leaves. Doesn't matter. We push on. Adamatic, would you agree that we did a terrific job on telling our stories?
Sure,
he might. He's calculating.
Wootiful. Oh, great.
Thank you. Did he say wootiful?
No, he said wonderful,
I thought he said wootiful. That would have been kind of a classy little... homage to the internet speak.
Would it now?
Yeah, I think it would.
Shut your pie hole.
Oh,
wow. Boy, very, very angry. I look forward to his story coming up in the middle of our show.
And I'll just start writing that now.
What do you mean? Isn't that automatic? Isn't that some sort of sentient being writing over there?
Right.
So as you've heard us talk about, this show is episode 69. So really, what's coming up are encounters with the opposite sex. As far as I know, unless Jared's going to hit us with some sort of humdinger of a story.
Oh, you'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I hope we have a lot to talk about. I hope there's some interesting stories, but if not, you know, I think you know what you're getting into. I've also got I'll be fielding a listener's choice for the review of Big Bang Theory. A listener requested we cover Big Bang Theory, and so we are going to do that. And of course, Under the Scope, all without Adam. So you guys can write it and tell us how good of a job we do without our sexy but sulky sidekick. How about
sexy
that?
Sexy but sulky. I like that.
Sad Adam. Not here. Not here for possibly some of the best selection of news stories ever.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to say that right now. Well, so,
yeah.
So, Jared, guess what?
What?
Let's get in crazy positions because episode 69 pushes on.
Head to toe.
Right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is divining rod. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
You once, twice, three times a lady, and I love you. Yes, you once.
So beautiful. Lionel Richie. Is that Lionel with the Commodores?
That is the Commodores. Yeah.
The Commodores, Lionel Richie, a huge act of the early 80s and mid 80s, fronting a big funk group, the Commodores. So that's your music lesson for the day, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the radio.
This is Scope Light. We've got Air Supply coming up and Christopher Cross with his mega hit Sailing.
Indeed.
But first, we're going to talk about... the Scope host's experience with ladies. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I don't have a stable full of conquests. I'm just an average dude.
You're not a Lionel Richie, then.
I am not a Lionel Richie.
Nor am I, Shane.
I'm not even a Rockwell, Jared, if somebody's
but
watching me.
I think for our limited encounters, I think we both made out pretty well here.
I think so, too. Well, we'll see if my child gets into the collecting habit, then I might not be making out anywhere except
we'll have the lawyer's office. Plenty of content for the show, though.
That's right.
Keep that in mind.
So guess what, Jared? Because nothing, and I wrote this, but I'm going to try to read it like I didn't write it. Because nothing, and I mean nothing, goes together like sex and geeks. Well, nothing except body odor and Star Trek movies. Which is, how's that? Is that good?
Wow.
Guess what? We'll be talking about Star Trek movies later in the show. So that's kind of
every single moment right now is foreshadowing the next. It's awesome. There's just this density of entertainment here on the show.
Yeah, we're never focusing on what's going on now. It's always the future.
Right.
It's my love for Lost and what's happening in that show, because it's they can't ever do things linearly. Yeah, today we get a little personal. People want to know how Jared and I handle the ladies, and I'm talking handle. So you guys might regret what we have to say about that. I'm also going to read or paraphrase a listener submitted story, Jared. We did get one listener. I requested for our listeners to send in some of their sexual, I don't know, sexual, but maybe just their encounters.
Did I miss this one? Because I don't recall it.
No, it was just sent to me.
Awesome.
So I don't know how good it's going to be, but I think that it ties into the geek world. And I only got one story, so that must tell me that all of our listeners are failing in the ways of love. They're all virgins. Are you virgin? Yes. The answer is yes, they are virgins.
I think either that or they're so skilled and so manly that they've never had any sort of mishap.
It's all perfect.
Yeah.
And we've also got a strange and / curious voicemail from one of our biggest listeners and someone we're a big fan of, so I have not heard this, and I'm curious to hear what he has to say. We'll get into that.
Shane, I haven't heard it either. I heard the top and the tail, and that's it. I wanted to listen to it live.
Okay, good.
And experience it together.
So we like this guy. If we don't like it, do we have to pretend, or can we hammer it?
Oh, I think we can go full bar however we want.
Okay, so...
It's open season.
Okay, it's open season.
What are you going to do? You send it to us.
I mean, we have been called what have we been called in the national reviewing circles, Jared? We're a little arrogant.
We're arrogant jerks.
We're arrogant jerks. So,
and, yes.
So maybe that comes into play. We'll see.
Oh, very likely.
So we've got stories, Jared. Do you want to kick off, or do you want me to kick off?
I don't know. I guess I could kick off. What am I doing? An embarrassing story here?
Yeah, whatever. Just tell me a noteworthy story.
I don't know if it's noteworthy. I don't know. It's sort of.
Let me pause you this.
Yeah.
Because this is something I
we're
don't
edit this all right.
I don't. Yeah. I don't know this about you. I don't think you've ever mentioned this. So this is either going to be embarrassing or you're not going to want to answer. But I'm curious. You know, we start talking about virginity.
Yeah.
What at what age did you lose your virginity?
Ooh, that's going to be well. I might as well.
Does that tie into the story?
No. It doesn't tie into the story.
And what was his name, by the way?
I'm going to fully admit that I was a bit of a late bloomer. It wasn't until 20 that I lost my virginity.
20?
I was out of
get
high,
out of here.
I was out of high school.
Get out of here.
I know. Sorry, Ange. I know you consider me a skilled lover, but...
Jared's all blushy. His face looks like a peach.
What are you going to do? You know, it is what it is. It was 15 years ago, for God's sake. Oh, sorry. I spoiled it. I'm not a young kid.
Well, that would only be 5 years for me, but thank you very much.
Right.
So, were there any close encounters before that, or was that
I didn't
that experience pretty much that everything?
No,
opened
there really
up.
Wasn't anything close. Honestly, I didn't have a real good handle on myself. I did have a good handle on myself.
You had an excellent handle on yourself,
but
20, you better have.
as far as my personality and confidence and stuff goes, in high school, it just wasn't necessarily there.
Yeah,
maybe by my senior year, I could have been a little bit more outgoing.
You could have banged some broads.
I think, and in retrospect, I'd look back and I'm like, yeah, I could have done, you know, tag. There's been a few that I could have gone there.
You could have tagged.
I was nervous. I wasn't very self-confident. So, you know, it took me a long time to kind of grow into myself and become...
And out of yourself, so to speak. By the way, Angie just stuck her head around the corner with a sign saying, I just heard, we're done.
Wow.
That's it.
It's pretty sad.
She didn't like that born-on date.
Well, how about you, Shane? I'm going to throw it around. How old were you?
I was 14 years... No.
Wow.
No. I probably was... In the average range, I think I just read a statistic saying that the average age that a a person, American youth, Ute, loses their virginity is, I think it was either 17 or 18, mm-hmm. and I was just a few months into my 18th year of life.
There you go.
So, yeah, I was out of high school as well, but it was the summer before going in to college. So, and you know what I have to say, and this is... this may not be a great thing to admit, but I don't really remember the experience that well.
Oh, I remember mine.
I remember things leading up to that.
Yeah.
You know, some of the horseplay, if you will, and not with actual horses, but
that would be an exciting story.
I remember not a good one from my perspective. I remember some of the things leading up to that, and you know, maybe someday we'll turn into an R to X-rated thing and had really dig in deep, but I remember being kind of freaked out by those. I mean, you know, wow, it was like, hey, this is cool, but at the same time, I don't know how I'm gonna be able to handle this. But the actual event itself, I don't really recall with clarity. I think I remember aspects of it, shades of it, if you will, but I don't actually remember the event. I remember other noteworthy noteworthy encounters, but that I do not remember.
I believe mine was the evening of a New Year's Eve party that Mike and I hosted at our apartment.
Really?
Yes.
That was it. So I know this girl.
Yeah, you know this girl.
That's good. And she's on the phone right now, by the way.
No. It's probably not hard to guess.
So it wasn't someplace crazy like your girlfriend's parents' house?
No, it was in my apartment.
Because that's what I did.
What about Adamatic? Do you have...
Jared, Adamatic, he's right on time.
I wonder when he lost his virginity.
Go ahead.
I lost my virginity when I was 14,879.4589 hours old.
Wow.
Of course, that was before my last class upgrade.
Oh, well, good to know.
I like how he sort of rounds it. He rounds that number.
Well, he's a computer. He's very particular. I don't know.
Very nice. So now that we've got the particulars, speaking of that, out of the way, please proceed with your story, and I will ask questions as we go on. Thank you.
Well, okay. This would be... The story happened to take place with the same girl with whom I lost my virginity. This mm-hmm. would be an old girlfriend named Amanda.
Oh, you're going to list the name.
What the hell?
That.
There's a lot of Amandas out there. If you know who she is, then you know you can imagine the story in your head, I guess.
Do you need Amanda hug and kiss?
No. Let's see. This would be at her house.
Oh, nice.
And she lived with her mother. And one afternoon, we were together, and we decided, hey, you know what? It'd be kind of fun to take a shower together.
Oh, no.
What's so funny? It's water. Shane, it's natural. It's bodies.
I mean, you got to do that. You got to clean up. You got to suds up a little bit.
So we're, doing the shower thing. We didn't actually, have any sort of adventures in the shower. It was just more, being naked and stuff.
You brought your arm floaties.
I did. I'm always cautious, Shane. I don't want to drown in there. You realize the statistics of the number of people who die in the shower?
And they do have dry drownings, too. So,
yes,
you know,
I had dry drownings.
There is such a thing, yes. So you can drown without being in the water.
I also had my Nike Aqua socks on just to be safe. I needed a gripped surface on my feet.
Knowing the time period, they were probably fluorescent.
Yes, they actually were. They were green with little pink accents.
Wow. Man, I could see what you're taking now.
So anyway, took the shower, we're done, we get out, and we're drying off, and all of a sudden, we can hear through the door that Mom has come home.
Oh, shite.
So Mom is home, and we're just like, uh-oh, what do we do?
Yeah, what do you do in a situation like that?
So I think what ended up happening was, she dried off and put on a robe or whatever and left. And I don't know if she told Mom or if Mom knew what was up, but after a few minutes, I think Mom kind of disappeared into her bedroom and didn't come up for a while. And I just, after I was given the all clear, I toweled off and made the walk of shame down the hallway to her bedroom. Amanda's bedroom, not the girlfriend's bedroom, not Mom's.
No, I was going to say, so I thought Amanda left, and you went over to Mom's door, you knocked on the door, and you untoweled.
No, it was just this very awkward, like, okay. And got into her room and put my clothes on, and yeah.
So
I think we I hid out in there for a while, and then eventually I just kind of excused myself and went home.
So let me ask you a couple of follow up questions on that. So right. Did you ever do anything like that again at this girl's house?
Possibly. I think we had done it previous to that. Yeah. I don't think we did it. No.
So even being a dumb kid at this point, yeah, probably 19 or 20, I'm assuming 20-ish, you learned your lesson. You didn't go back into the belly of the beast.
Yeah, there might be some limits we need to impose on our behavior.
Do you ever think back to those days and like, man, you really could have gotten busted in a bad way?
Oh, God.
Could have been very embarrassing.
Yeah. I was foolhardy, but, you know, this was my first, like, real, I guess, serious relationship, yeah, if you will, so... I don't know.
So
I wasn't thinking clearly.
Full steam ahead, Titanic. We see the iceberg. Let's just charge at it. See what we can do some damage with it.
Oh yeah.
So how did Amanda's mother treat you after that?
It was never spoken of. It was never. But I think there was kind of an uneasiness there for a while. I know she liked me for the most part.
And Amanda was younger than you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. I only date younger women.
Nice.
What are you gonna do?
We know what you did. Got the shower naked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you had swim trunks on, let's be honest.
And the water rings, don't forget.
And the water rings. Well.
So that was really my most embarrassing story, I guess. I don't know.
I think everybody always has moments like that. As a matter of fact, my story is in that realm as well. I don't know if it's as good as yours or not, but we'll...
Really?
We'll see.
Mine isn't that good.
So, yeah.
So this show's going downhill. If you guys want to, like, turn a channel, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what we're doing is we're helping paint a picture for people. As they listen, you know, they can imagine it as exciting or unexciting as they want. But then they can also think about their experiences that they refuse to send in to us so we could read.
Indeed.
Indeed. So
maybe
so,
we'll get some follow-up emails. Yeah.
My story involves myself, the age of 19, and spring break. My lady at the time went to school in California, Berkeley, California.
No, we're not giving names.
Her name was Mary.
That's a very common name. Could be anyone.
Could be anyone.
And,
you know, this was kind of the second time we'd seen each other since she went off to school.
Mm-hmm.
She came back for Christmas, obviously.
So no doubt the loins are burning at this point.
Oh, yes. At this time, you're very, very excited. And I was a stupidly loyal boyfriend at the time, so I wasn't doing it. There was no horseplay with me or any goofing off, anything like that, and so I was the pumps were primed, if you will. So we get there, and you know, a lot of the initial time is sort of getting acclimated to the whole world of Berkeley, and I at this point I had never been to California, so it was
exciting.
It was
a whole
quite an event to see, and in a lot of ways, Berkeley is exactly how you would picture it. There's, I mean, it's certainly not out of the late '60s, early '70s, but there are a lot of
a lot of Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks. It's a very liberal, a lot of hippies. The one thing I did notice being there was a ton of homeless people.
Was there the scent of patchouli oil everywhere?
Yeah, strange sort of smell. And this was at the time when there was a guy walking around there called the Naked Guy, which I don't you may have heard of him, but it was a guy that went to school there that he went everywhere naked, and he got away with it for the longest time. I actually did see the Naked Guy that first year.
Was he? How do I put this? Did he look okay naked, or should he not have been the naked
here's
guy?
Here's the thing. Well, first of all, the guy was ripped. I mean, he was...
Okay, like, so he's in fine shape.
Yes, he was absolutely in fine shape. But here's the thing. He wasn't naked when I saw him. He was wearing, like, track pants or something.
Oh, that's dumb.
So he's the
sort of naked guy.
Because, you know, all you dudes out there, when you really want to see that guy naked, it all falls through. But
that's pretty sad.
So, yeah, this was that time of year, late or early 90s. Grunge was everywhere. Green Day, very popular, just about ready to be super popular.
Mm-hmm.
Green Day being a Berkeley band, so they were around at that time. But so after getting the big tour of campus, we go up to the dorm. And as dorms often are, it was a shared experience with a roommate, and very small dorm room, very prison like actually, very small windows, not a great experience overall. But her roommate was, I don't know if she was going to be spending all of the break there or not, but she was this cute little Asian girl. Actually, a lot of people in Berkeley, there was a lot of a high Asian contingency there just because of location.
It's closer to Asia.
Closer to Asia. But she was...
Wait, let me cut to the chase. Three-way, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you wait till I get to the story. She was extremely religious, like super religious, and my girlfriend was
in what religion? We're talking Christian religion,
yeah, Christian, okay. You know, a Bible banger, if you will. And
really,
and
wow.
My
Bible banger,
yeah, banging. See, yeah, take that double entendre any way you want. My my girlfriend at the time was Earl Lucas's nightmare. She was a
big Michael Bay fan.
Yeah, huge into Michael Bay. She also was a big time vegetarian.
Okay.
Huge into animal rights, PETA, that sort of thing. Very liberal,
very left leaning, yeah.
All the way around. And that sort of
not even leaning. She's there on the
yeah,
left.
Yeah, she is there.
Doesn't even have a right.
She's leading the charge. So okay. You know, anything goes with her. You know, we're there hanging out, and eventually, you know.
Okay.
What the heck was that?
I don't know. My computer is signaling something weird.
That's not good. So I spend the night as I would, because it's her dorm room, which, by the way, in itself, I believe was against school rule. So it was very secretive, hush-hush, getting me in there. And for whatever reason, I believe Mary's roommate was not there. But... yeah, I don't know why. I don't know if she wasn't staying there or whatever. She knew I was there and wanted to give us some privacy. But so it's morning time, and we're kind of going at it, really, doing our thing.
Yeah.
And the phone rings, and we decide not to answer it. And that was a big that will end up costing me.
Oh no,
that will end up costing me. And it rang a bunch of times, and it stopped. And you know, we were still in the midst of our business, and then it rang again, and we chose not to answer it again
because you're in the midst of
we're
your
doing our business. So you know, a couple minutes pass by, and we're really in the midst of our business. That might be the show title right there.
What was that? I
the midst of our business,
right?
MIDST. Got it. And all of a sudden, the door flies open.
Oh,
and here's this poor girl walks in, and there I am in all of my glory. doing my business, and I think she practically crapped her pants. She froze, I froze, the door was wide open, and I think I jumped under the covers. She was like, I gotta go. Gone. She ran away, and
wow.
You know, I'm
yours wins, by the way.
Yeah.
I was gonna say.
I was very, very embarrassed, and
yeah.
I still get a little embarrassed thinking about it.
That's a good story.
Quick note, I did not see her the rest of the time. I don't know if she was coming to get something. She was gone, and
she couldn't handle it.
And shortly after,
you were too much man for her.
I think I probably, my pasty, skinny, white Minnesota body, I think she probably was freaked out. And I think shortly after that, she transferred roommates.
Oh.
And did not stay in Mary's room. And I think for a long time, Mary didn't even have a roommate. So that probably worked out better for her.
Watch out.
That time.
My outfit's ridiculous. In the club, looking so conspicuous.
Okay.
What's that from, Jared?
I don't know. It's Adamatic. It's going crazy.
Adamatic, you're crazy. So that was my story. I don't know if I have anything other things too crazy that I'm allowed to tell. But, you know, we'll see.
That you're allowed to tell.
Well, the ground rule with Carrie was no stories about her. So
yeah.
So my base is fairly limited after that.
I understand that.
So I'm looking here at my notes, and
yeah.
I have got a story from a listener. It's a long story, so I'm going to try to paraphrase it as I'm going.
And roll. These women all on the prowl.
Huh?
If you hold the head steady, I'm a milk the cow.
Okay.
Nice. So this is a story from a listener. I'm not going to name her, but I will say that the first letter of her name is K. She says, and I know it's a girl,
mm-hmm.
She says, in the early 90s, a friend and I used to work at a telemarketing phone bank. One night, she got a large sale, and her bosses wanted to say thank you, so they took the whole group out to the local casino for a late night all-you-can-eat buffet, because nothing says celebration like casino buffets.
Oh, yeah.
When they got there, she said she was seated by this very cute guy, and then an even cuter waiter, because...
Oh, boy.
Nothing but cute, cute, cute.
No kidding.
Her boss was all... And this is... I will say this exactly how it was spelled out. Her boss, Donna, was all goggle-eyed for him, so she was flirting with him. Goggle-eyed.
That's good, though. You need to do protection, Jane. Yep. Just be safe.
Look out, you might. They're supplying chips and maybe crab legs.
You know, you can't take a chance like that, Shane. Your eyes are too important.
The fried chicken from the buffet flying everywhere.
Forget about the game. I must spit the truth. I won't stop till I get them in their birthday suits.
I have no idea what Adam Hack is talking about. Just very bizarre. So he wanted nothing to do with it, but we were fun people, so the waiter sort of played into it.
Okay.
And Carrie says, I remember this very specifically.
Carrie, what?
Nope.
I gave it away.
What a shame. She says, she had the best timing and the best pickup line she's ever had in her life. And it goes a little something like this.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I was sitting there really trying not to laugh at this, at the silly, stupid, corny jokes that were that everyone was flinging at each other by reading the drink list or something. Then all of a sudden, the waiter asks in a giggly voice, which, you know, there's nothing more attractive than that. Are you in blonde? And you, Blondie, do you have a boyfriend? And she looked up and said, no, you haven't asked me out yet.
Hey-o!
Wow, pretty good. She said the whole table was shocked with her timing, and the waiter replied, said, well, I'll have to do something about that then. So pretty much the story goes on, and they kind of hang out there for 2 hours or so, and eventually she gets a little note from the waiter, and so they look at it in the car, and it has his number and a little drawing of her, so I guess that's a very attractive thing. And, okay, here's where it gets interesting. So the date. So the next day, Carrie calls up, and I'm just using her name now, and they make a date, and the waiter asks if I wouldn't mind coming out to his place, and we drive separately because he had to work that night.
Uh-huh.
So they're driving separately.
Okay.
So she follows the directions, and she finds herself in this trailer park on the side of the highway.
Oh, no.
I find his place, not judging, but things are a little run down and dirty, but tolerable. She, you know, Carrie's a very open-minded girl, so she can handle things. She rings the doorbell, and the theme...
I was going to say, what is it?
And the theme from a movie is playing.
Oh, no.
And the movie is Star Wars.
Oh, no.
So he answers the door, and a dog comes running out, and he yells, R2, come here.
This isn't real.
Yeah.
There's no way this is real.
She says, okay, weird, but kind of cool. Kind of cool. Now it was cool before. Now it's dropping to kind of cool. So
it's okay to have a couple of geek references, but not everything.
It gets worse.
Oh boy!
So he comes out, and they're sitting on the back step because there's nothing more romantic than sitting on the back step of a rundown trailer. And they're talking,
watching R2 frolic in the grass.
Yep. They're talking for a while, and he goes. He gets a little cold, or they're going to leave, or something. He goes in and grabs a coat, and they walk to the back side of the house. He grabs his coat and the trash. That's how the story goes.
Oh.
So they walk to the back side of the house, and what is the trash can? An R2-D2 trash can. So now she's...
Wow.
And so she says, I'm thinking, we all like different things. And again, that's kind of cool. They go to leave, and he puts on his coat, and it's a jean jacket with R2-D2 patches all over it.
Somebody likes R2-D2.
Yes. So she's now at this point, Carrie's totally freaking out. And
this can't be real.
Yes. So she gets there, and they need to go get gas. So they stopped to someplace close to his house, and they go in. And as soon as they walk in, people were saying hi to the guy, but they called him R2. So he was known as R2.
They know him as R2.
At this point, Carrie was done.
Oh boy.
At this point, she was done, and she said, you know, in a nice way, "What's up with all this R2-D2 stuff?" And he instantly fumed up and got very angry and said, I can't date anyone who doesn't know who R2-D2 is. So Carrie...
So she knew who R2-D2 was.
Well, I think she's probably pretending.
Yeah.
So Carrie said, okay, and then left. And that was the end of it. Never...
So give me the rhythm and it'll be off with a close, then bend over to the front and touch your toes.
Ooh, that was inappropriate.
Very, very saucy. So Carrie bumped into a R2-D2
wow.
fanatic. I bet you he probably had R2-D2 tattoos or something like that. A tattoo.
I'm betting the head of his cock was tattooed to look like R2-D2. I'm just saying it, but it's probably
true. Well, I
hope
he was circumcised.
otherwise,
he looks more like R5-D4.
Where is it? Yeah!
Thank you. So we've got one more segment, and it's nice that Jared can use the word cock in the show. I think that's a first in 69 shows. I don't think he's ever said it.
Right.
Let's drink.
You're the one to please that dramatic feel cups like double D's.
I don't know what he said, but I heard double D's. Double D's.
Indeed.
So, Jared, we've got a voicemail from a couple weeks ago.
Hold on. I think Adamatic has a story.
Oh, Adamatic, please tell your story.
I once put my floppy disk in her disk drive, but I had a bad sector and had to reformat it. It wasn't as sexy as it sounds. There were peripherals everywhere.
Oh, my.
I think he gets the best story.
I think so.
How does a fake computer get the best story of the day?
I don't know.
There were peripherals everywhere.
Yeah.
The insane once more, and we leave him dead. We want a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed.
This guy's crazy.
Indeed.
So we've got a voicemail. It is from a someone who we've been on his program many times. It's John from Metrobuzz, which Metrobuzz, strangely, on a sort of an odd long hiatus. I wonder what's up with that. But John sent in a voicemail responding to something, Jared.
It was he kind of gets into it in the call. But,
oh, he clarifies.
But it was a Twitter thing where I had said that you and I were on a mandate to go see The Watchmen. Uh-oh. And he responded something about having to write his fanfic, and I said, make sure Shane is wearing a nice scarf from Barney's. And I think that inspired him to compose something.
John, we're putting you out there right now, so this better be good or it's going to be trouble. Okay, so play the voicemail, because we love voicemails, Jared.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Hey, Scope guys. It is John Norton calling. You know, Jared posted a Twitter update about he and Shane's completely hetero mandate to go see Watchmen a few days ago. And I made the joke to him that, you know, I was going to start writing my Flash Scope fanfic based on that. And, you know what? In the words of Tobias Funke, I thought, coulda, shoulda, woulda. So I thought if you guys would indulge me a little bit, I'm going to give you a little excerpt of the first ever Scope / fanfic.
Uh-oh.
Okay, here we go.
He's preparing.
It was a cold Minnesota night as Jared and Shane left the theater alongside the 100 or so other people who just moments ago had all been glued to their seats for a showing of Watchmen. Maybe we've been wrong about the whole global warming thing, said Shane as he wrapped his new scarf from Barney's
around
his neck.
There it is.
I knew you really voted for McCain, Jared joked as they head toward the parking
lot.
They shared a good laugh.
Like now,
these
Jared.
These two friends shared many laughs in their years of knowing one another, but underneath the laughter, Jared couldn't help but wonder if he felt something more for his internet radio partner.
I feel like Carrie now. Oh, this is kind of cool.
Shane was thinking the same thing.
You have a comment?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm getting a little creeped out. It's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
As long as John doesn't make us call him R2.
Ooh.
So, great movie, huh? Jared began. Totally, replied Shane. Can't wait to talk about it on this week's show. Jared said he agreed, but in his mind was desperately trying to think of some way to see if there was a chance, even a slim one, that Shane shared his hidden desire.
I think it could stop very soon.
Oh, come on, we're only halfway through.
Halfway?
Yeah.
Suddenly, he thought of an opening.
An opening?
So, what did you think of Dr. Manhattan? Jared said as often as possible. Oh, Billy Crudup was a perfect choice, Shane replied. Good on Zack Snyder for having the guts to cast lesser known. I thought his acting was great and really held steady for the length of the film.
It's like he's in my head.
He's talking about the length now. What the hell?
Shane was almost at his car. Jared knew this was it.
Jared's a perv.
Time.
Oh, no!
He grabbed Shane's hand to stop him from walking any further.
What?
As he did this, there was a spark between them he'd never felt before.
Oh, my goodness. I hope it's my taser going into your gut.
We gotta see how it ends. Come on!
Shane felt it, too. It wasn't exactly the movies I was referring to.
Oh my goodness.
Jared said,
look at me. If only I was this smooth with actual people.
I guess we go to John with all his lines.
Yeah, there we go.
There's more?
I know, Shane responded.
Yeah.
I think deep down, I've always known.
This is like a sort of snuff film or
it's
something.
It's Slashfic. Come on.
I don't know what this is.
You don't know what Slashfic is?
I don't know what that is.
Usually it's gay sexual fan fiction.
I guess I could have.
You
could have pulled that meaning out of
it. You probably could have inferred that. Here we go.
I think I could have.
Deduced it. Whatever.
The pair stood there under that bright Minnesota moon.
The brightest moon in all of the United States.
I don't think anything's happening in the Scope basement tonight.
God.
A smile went across Jared's face instantly.
I bet it did.
I'm going to put you down on that table, Shane.
Stay away from me.
Come on, he said. I'm going to give you a whole other kind of Scope score.
No!
As the two got into their cars,
he could have stopped.
No. It's he's setting the scene. I don't think he's going to get into any details now. That's, you know, unseemly.
You know, Adam always misses the best stuff.
So
the
true.
Two laughed as they drove off into the distance.
Wow.
The end.
Beautiful.
So now that everyone has all those images in their heads, I will say I love you guys' show as always, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Maybe not. Beautiful. Yay. Wow.
Well done, wow. John Norton. Well done.
I can say I've never put that kind of effort into even this show, so very impressive.
Like I said, delaying it to this show was probably the best move, because it fits in perfectly.
What it does, that's what she said.
Hey.
By the way, Billy Crudup's schlong in Watchmen, bigger than what the schlong is in the comic book.
Good to know.
I just noticed that because I'm rereading the comic book, Jared.
Okay.
So is that it? Are we done talking?
I mean, maybe.
There's nothing better than talking about all sorts of sexy stories.
I'm not afraid to give the full monty.
Oh.
I think we're going to have to, next episode,
We
will hold Adam to sharing his most embarrassing story.
I think so, because the fans want to know.
Yeah, fans, everyone write in and say, you want to hear Adam's story, and then since it's going to be the fan-centric episode, number 70, he will have to tell his tale.
Right on.
Well, Jared, thank you for sharing your completely embarrassing story about losing your virginity at 20. I appreciate that. I am clearly 2 years more of a man than you. I mean, that's obvious.
It's okay. I'm happy with where I'm at.
Oh, my goodness. You are such a you're such a cad. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be back with Scope Sounds. And soon after that, Under the Scope.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! Now, this is the first of several songs I'll play from South by Southwest artists. This is The Urgency with Fingertips here on the Scope.
Love when you say your faith is falling fast. Through your body, your mind, and the soul that you claim to have.
Thank you.
now return to the scope, just for the hell of it.
Under the scope. Under the scope, coming at you right now. You know, I was just thinking about this, Jared. You know, when you listen to other radio shows, real radio shows, they always say, hey, we were talking about this in between commercial breaks. Uh-huh. They have all these great conversations.
Sure.
And
right.
You and I are just sitting here twiddling our thumbs. Like we have nothing to say.
We want to save it for the
save
show.
Everything save it for the show.
For the show.
Well, you know what we're saving for the show?
What's that?
The news!
You want my opinion? That sounded like a quality radio moment right there.
You think so?
Yeah. I just like the timing of it.
See, that's all it takes. Now I'm going to totally drag it down into the shithole.
That's what the news is for, Shane.
Guess what? Adam normally reads the news. If he's not here...
Do you call that reading? Honestly.
He sort of mutters and stumbles through it. He might pull off like a tweet, or as Stephen Colbert calls it, a twat.
Yeah. That was funny.
And he might read a sentence here or there, not put a lot of effort into it. And if he is not here, oftentimes he will send us the news so that we can do it ourselves.
Shane, did he send us the news this time?
He did not send us the news. So last night at 11:30, I was compiling the freshest and hottest news of the week.
Was this after the action figures had been returned to the
action figures are back up. The poop is gone. The stench is cleaned.
And the news is gathered.
The news is gathered. So story number one, let's start with tech news. I've got two tech stories coming at you this week.
Number one,
coming
at
you.
We need some of those sounders.
Coming at you. Microsoft goes after Mac on price in their new ad campaign,
Jared. Oh my God, can you believe how expensive those Macs are?
In these day and time, with the Macs coming so expensive, you got to get yourself a PC.
Oh, it's so true, Shane.
You can do all the same zany things on the PC that you can do on the Macintosh.
Woo! All right.
So, with Steve Wozniak rushing to an Apple store to get some help, Lauren, a quintessential average female consumer, was heading there, too, as part of Microsoft's bold new attempt to show the Apple tax in action. Mm-hmm. In the latest Microsoft TV spot that just assaulted us during the Pitt-Xavier basketball game, Lauren tells us she has needs. She needs a lap.
She needs a man.
She needs a laptop with speed, comfortable keyboard, and a 17-inch screen for under $1,000. The voiceover tells her that if she finds it at the Apple store or elsewhere, she can keep it for free.
Wow.
So we follow Lauren and her fetching green scarf on her jolly Oregon-esque, I don't even know what this word is. It's from French, blah, blah, blah.
Ménage à trois.
Ménage à trois on her quest. That's what we're going to say. Ménage à trois. Whoa, that's wacky.
What is that, Shane? Does that mean... I don't even know.
Come on, let's get something funny.
Whatever.
So she goes to an Apple store and exit with a face suggesting that the dermatologist gave her bad news. She can only get a 13-inch screen for her money.
Oh.
Jared, everyone knows it's not the size. It's how you use it.
Right.
She declares that she would have to double her budget to get what she wants from Apple. She then offers the entirely unscripted line, I'm just not cool enough to be a Mac person. For some reason, that sounds like something Earl would say. He'd get very angry and say, I'm just not cool enough. Okay, so let's see what else we got to say here. So you'll feel a tickling sensation in several parts of your anatomy when you hear that Lauren succeeds in her quest for her budget-conscious joy. She wanders into a place that looks remarkably like Best Buy, where the choirs are singing and the choices are plentiful.
Nice.
She settles on a Hewlett-Packard PC that fulfills all of her wishes. It even offers to drive her home. The HP is such a bargain that she pays cash. Is it because she happens to have about $700 in her purse, as all average female consumers do?
Yes. Well, no. Shane, shoes are expensive.
No, it's because a helpful producer hands her the money.
Oh.
So this is perhaps, I think this actually is, Microsoft's most aggressive declaration of an advertising war against the Mac, probably in forever, but definitely in a long, long time. What fun the company and its ad agency, Crispin, Porter, and Bogoski have chosen an overt price war. So it'll be interesting to see how many cash-unconscious Americans will be persuaded to accept their own lack of sidewalk cred and venture towards the PC. So what do you think, Jared? Now, I've done a little more research on this. I've heard that, I don't know if this is the web ad version or the TV commercial,
okay,
but the computer that she buys, or that they actually go and buy, is generally considered to be a piece of crap. It has a terrible screen resolution. It doesn't have half the features that equivalent Macintosh product would have. So you're not necessarily getting all the quality. Okay. You may be getting the quantity, but you're not getting the quality.
Sure, sure, sure.
So do you think that Apple's going to have to do some price adjustments, or do you think that things are going to be fine, even in this, they're calling it the Great recession, Jared.
Apple is not targeting budget-conscious buyers. Otherwise, they'd have a mid-range desktop computer that isn't an iMac, you know, or somewhere between the Mac Mini and the Mac Pro.
What about all these rumors of a an e-book? One of those
netbook?
A netbook. There we go. That coming out. Is that going to address that issue? Or is that a different product sphere altogether?
That's a whole different market segment. Apple is I think they're happy with the sales they have, and they're trending up, you know, slightly, but Apple doesn't want to be the big player. They're happy the charging. There's certainly a premium placed on their products.
What do you think it is? 30% premium?
Not even that much, but let's face it, they have a fit and finish that most products can't match.
There's
a status to having them too, and Apple likes being that status maker.
Is having that status in today's day and age a detriment, Jared?
No, I don't think so.
He doesn't think so.
I think there's always going to be people that can afford it and are willing to pay it.
Will you be buying an Apple computer anytime soon?
No, but I have a follow-up story.
Go ahead.
To your thing. Mitch has offered to buy Lauren the computer that she so desperately wanted. Mitch writes, I am up for the challenge. To whom it may concern, I recently watched the new PC ad on television the other night about Lauren purchasing a laptop for $100,000. It was a great advertisement targeting everyday PC users. My only concern is that I feel the computer Lauren chose will not provide an overall positive experience. I'm asking for your assistance to help me locate Lauren. I'm willing to give her my 17-inch Mac laptop for free so she can decide which laptop is superior without putting a price tag on it. I do believe everyone on this planet is cool enough to be a Mac person. Sincerely, Mitch.
I like that, Mitch.
So Mitch is willing to give her a laptop. Now, we all know Lauren's just a fake person. But
by the way, Mitch, my name is Lauren. You can contact me and I'm right on the internet.
That story was courtesy of Gizmodo.com.
Very nice. Jared, I like how you are augmenting my news with even fresher news.
Yes.
Very, very impressive. And I think if Adam were here, we would not be able to do that.
No, I mean, we've heard this whole Apple tax, Apple premium, they're too expensive story for years now, and it hasn't made any difference. You know, their sales have been trending up, so yeah. What do you do?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Apple isn't interested in getting in the low price point market and having to duke it out with everyone else.
No.
They're happy with the niche that they've got.
And getting into that sphere of popularity also adds other problems, like more visibility towards to viruses,
right,
to malware, spyware, all that jazz, which right now is not something that the most Apple computers have to deal with.
Yeah, and Apple's making a ton of money as it is. Mm-hmm. And yeah. They're happy.
So screw you, haters.
There you go.
Story number two. AT&T to send warnings to internet customers on music and movie downloads. This is Dateline, March 27th, 7:20 a.m.
That's pretty current.
Associated Press, AP says, AT&T Inc., the nation's largest internet service provider, will start sending warnings to its subscribers when music labels and movie studios allege that they are trafficking in pirated material, according to an executive.
Wow.
The phone company thus joins other major ISPs that either go beyond legal requirements or interpret their duties under the law to mean that they have to forward such notices.
Like Time Warner and Comcast working with the RIAA? Yep.
Comcast, Cox Communications Inc., and Verizon Communications already forward such notices.
Make sure you check me out on Cox Cable.
But approaches differ, and the legal situation is muddled. Cox
Cable. A little
throwback
reference for you there, a little Mike Tyson.
Copyright holders, like movie studios, can, in many cases, identify internet users who download or provide pirated materials by their numerical internet address, but cannot match it up with a subscriber name without the cooperation of the internet service provider. Now, previously, ISPs identify their customers to copyright holders who bring court orders. The copyright holders and their representatives, like the RIAA, have been able to sue the customers. But obviously, y'all know that has been widely criticized, and late last year, the RIAA said it was abandoning that policy of filing lawsuits, opting instead to work with the ISPs to cut abusers' access if they ignored repeated warnings. At the time, the RIAA said it agreed with several leading ISPs without naming which ones to notify alleged illegal file shares and cut off service if they failed. So the president, the top executive to AT&T, Jim Ciccone, said their program, AT&T's program, was not a result of a deal with the RIAA, and the music industry organization was not a part of the first trials the company conducted of the notification system last year. So it gets to be kind of crazy because all these companies really aren't, you know, they're sending out these threats, but they're really not doing anything to back it up at this point. They're just saying, you know, we see that you're doing this. Your service could be cut off. AT&T says it seems to engender a good response from the customers, these so-called notifications, and we've right. seen a fairly dramatic drop-off in file sharing activity once people receive a notice, so we feel that it works.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's like, hey, we see what you're doing. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll stop.
Cox, the fifth largest ISP with about 4 million customers, forwards thousands of notices per month and has cut off a few repeat offenders.
Did they say how they're notifying? Are they notifying via letter,
it's
email?
As far as I know, it is an email.
Which is no
good. The ISP would automatically forward the notice to the customer via email without telling the copyright holder who the customer is.
Which is no good if you're not using your ISP email, like yep. a lot of people aren't.
So I wouldn't even see that. There's confusion about the legal, if I were doing illegal things. There's confusion about the legal right. obligations of ISPs.
This is all speculative.
Because nobody on either side has the nerve to go to court over it, probably because the stakes are so high, neither wants to gamble on what the ultimate answer might be. So all these places are all these ISPs are sending out these threatening messages, but are they really going to start cutting off the service of all the people that, you know, are paying them? In the end, it probably will come to that, but for the yeah. time being, we'll just have to see if any of these emails come our way. What do you think, Jared?
They're fighting an uphill battle. I mean,
I think it's a smarter battle because I think you can scare the casual people, but the question is, you know, how prevalent is file stealing, and you know what lengths are these ISPs going to go to stop that?
I think that there actually are a lot of people out there who don't understand that technically that it is illegal to download, you know, films and television and stuff. And to share it. It's such a common practice now that a lot of people just accept it as that's how you do yeah. it.
Music is free. That's how it's accepted. And pretty soon, if the bandwidth continues to open up, people are going to look at movies that way as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing that they've added in the last 6 months is bandwidth caps. Now, we're fortunate in that Comcast is at a pretty high number, 250 yeah. gigabytes. That's not a lot when you start talking high-def video, though.
Yep, they're going to have to deal with that sort of thing.
And then that's from legitimate things, too. Like, if you're streaming high-def video from YouTube, Hulu, yep. Amazon, Netflix, you know, any place that offers it, you can chew through that 250 gigabytes pretty quickly.
Well, I hope I'm not chewing through it.
Well, you're not doing any streaming, so I wouldn't
no
worry
streaming.
About it.
Hey, Jared.
Yeah.
The world of fragrance is about to boldly go where few have ventured before.
Oh.
The Trekosphere.
The Trekosphere? That's not a word.
Hoping to profit from the May 8th release of J.J. Abrams' new Star Trek film, a Maryland-based fragrance creator will release three Star Trek-themed scents
yeah.
on April 24th. Soon, Trekkies will be able to channel their inner Starfleet commander with Tiberius, based on Captain James Kirk's character. The scent, which carries the tagline,
yeah.
boldly go,
oh my.
Is described as having warm vanilla, white musk, and sandalwood.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that Shatner actually smells that way, right? actually sampled his odor.
He smells like vanilla extract.
Not hot.
For those living like the next workday could be their last,
yeah.
there's Red Shirt.
Okay. This is fire and brimstone, right?
This cologne with a tagline, because tomorrow may never come,
okay.
is in honor of the unnamed Enterprise officers who don't typically survive past the TV show's first scene.
It smells of some roughly of raw meat and tiger, right?
Awfully close.
Okay.
This is the actual scent base, leather okay. and gray musk.
What?
Because there's nothing better than smelling like browned cowhide.
No, yeah. I don't want to smell like a biker.
And, Jared, I'm not a huge Star Trek guy, so this might mean more to you than me.
Okay.
But the last scent yes. is for the ladies. Uh-huh. It's called Ponfar.
Okay.
Do you know what a Ponfar is?
Isn't that the ritual mating that the Vulcans go through?
You knew that. You knew that, not me. What would Batman say about that?
Not hot.
A great gift for mom for letting you crash in the basement for 50-year-olds? Maybe not. It refers to the Vulcan mating ritual, which occurs every 7 years.
There you go.
So maybe this one's
featured
only
in the episode Amok Time, Shane. What?
Yikes. John Tenuto, merchandiser editor of TrekMovie.com, said fans have responded positively to the fragrances, which retail for about $30 mm-hmm. each. But some Trekkies predict incredibly stinky Trek conventions soon. Ha ha.
Great.
I was hoping there'd be some sort of Trek scent that captured the true essence of a Trek fan.
Yeah.
smells like old cheeseburgers and pizza boxes.
I was going to say...
thank you. That's all I got.
Body odor and Mylar bags.
It's like a match game. A new Trek scent came out.
Yeah.
But it was too realistic because it smelled like blank.
Oh.
Then now you have the match game music, Jared.
Oh, where is it?
I don't know.
Putting me on the spot here.
Come on. I just thought of that right now. It's a bit. There he goes. This is a whole bit about Trek scents, everyone. So let me repeat the question.
Yes.
That Trekkie was so stinky. Did you say how stinky was he?
How stinky was he?
He was so stinky that because he's using the new Trek scent, he smelled like blank. Okay, we're smoking cigarettes.
Richard Dawson is cracking wise.
Jamie Farr is over there knocking things down with his big schnoz.
Right. Isn't Radar from MASH or whatever his name is?
Yeah, what's his name? What's the name of the woman that's on there all the time?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, okay, Pixel.
Betty White's usually on there a lot.
Betty White. And some hot chick with cleavage.
And the gay guy.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
There you go. I want to say John C. Reilly. That's not right.
John C. Reilly, not on the new match game. Hey, Jared.
Yeah, Shane.
Actually, opposites don't attract, study finds.
Oh my God, really?
Do opposites really attract? A new study finds that when it comes to personality, people seek partners with the same qualities.
Oh yeah.
But claim to want to find someone who is different. So for me, for instance, I'm actually trying to find somebody who's nice and not sarcastic, but instead I'm with someone who's just as mean and evil as I am, right?
Right.
The study recently published in the Journal of Evolutionary Psychology, which right there, it's about evolution, so it's not true.
Forget it. There's no faith in there.
Asked 760 members of an online dating site to answer questionnaires regarding their personality traits, as well as the traits they would want an ideal partner. They were then asked if they wanted a partner that complemented them or resembled them. The answer showed a preference for someone with the same sort of personality. The traits, which included neuroticism, extroversion, openness, agreeableness, and conscientiousness all had positive participant-to-partner correlations. These findings are supported by a previous research study. Let's see. When asked about their preferences for a mate, people may partially draw upon lay theories of romantic attraction rather than their true desires for a mate, says Pietronal Dijkstra, a professor at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands. He also wears clogs. And the study's lead researcher. One popular theory is that opposites attract. Another is that having a similar partner would be boring. But Dijkstra says these theories often prove untenable in real life.
I have to agree, I think.
So there we go. Yeah, I actually feel that my wife and I are very similar in a lot of ways.
I think Angie and I are very similar in tons of ways. And that's part of why we work so well.
You both have a love of the sword dance.
Indeed.
And our final story of the day, Jared, I picked it only because I saw it on the StarTribune.com, and I loved the headline, which was simply, Fatter Up! Fatter Up! Are you ready? Oh, actually, I have two stories. This is my second to last story. Michigan Ballpark's 4,800 calorie burgers make peanuts and Cracker Jacks seem like health food.
4,800 calorie burger?
Yes. Well, at least the salsa's low-cal, Jared. The West Michigan white...
Shane, that's like 3 days worth of food.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Check this out. The West Michigan Whitecaps, a minor league baseball team, will be offering up Major League cholesterol, carbohydrates, and calories in an enormous hamburger being added to the menu this year at the 5th-3rd ballpark.
Okay.
The 4-pound, $20 burger features 5 beef patties, 5 slices of cheese, nearly a cup of chili, and a liberal dose of salsa and corn chips.
Okay, so it's 4 pounds.
All on an 8-inch sesame seed bun. That's a lot of dough. The Grand Rapids Press reports that anyone who eats the entire 4,800-calorie behemoth in one sitting will receive a special t-shirt and a coupon for a heart transplant.
No kidding.
Seder fans can divide it up with a pizza cutter and share. So, would you eat a burger like that, Jared?
No.
You know, I don't know what this fascination is with
mass consumption, giant food.
Maybe people are eating big because they know that the world is ending in the Great Depression. Great Recession, sorry.
It's ending in 2012 when the Mayans have predicted it. Shane.
Thank you very much.
Let's get it right.
Last story of the day, Jared, and this is the big one.
Yeah.
George Lopez to host late night talk show.
Okay.
George Lopez getting into the late night talk show game. TBS says Lopez will start a new talk show in November. It will air Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m., 10 p.m. Central. And it Lopez promises an outdoor street party atmosphere.
On TBS?
Yes.
Okay.
Lopez started for six seasons in an ABC sitcom. I say sitcom very loosely.
I don't think I get that channel.
We reviewed it on the show, and it sucked. He's getting into late night at a time of change with Conan O'Brien taking over NBC's Tonight show in June and Jimmy Fallon now hosting NBC's Late Night. And guess what, Jared? In a sure sign of George Lopez being the most cutting-edge person on television,
yeah.
Lopez's show, which will be based in L.A., will feature celebrity guests, comedy, and music.
Jared, I just have one question for you.
Yes.
Can we hire actors?
I don't know. It's going to feature music. It's going to feature music, Jared. Lopez is going out on a limb and saying...
Wait. There's music?
Yes.
What else, Shane?
And guess what? He is going to have guests.
There's
going to
be guests.
Celebrity guests.
Is he going to interview them?
And he's going to interview these celebrity guests.
Will they be sitting on a couch next to him? Perhaps to his right, our left?
And Lopez is going to take it one step further.
Is he?
No one's ever done this before.
What's that?
Comedy on a late night show.
Shane, this guy is a trendsetter.
And because he really wants to throw the world on its axis... He's going to film it in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God. Can we hire actors?
I know. George Lopez, man. By the way, his first bit of celebrity guests.
Yeah.
I read Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
And the Taco Bell dog. You should have said, George Lopez is so Hispanic that his first
set... How Hispanic is he?
That his first set of guests on his new celebrity talk show will be...
Blank.
Blank.
What could it be? I'm going to say a plate of tacos.
Tacos. I'm saying taco from the 80s. Going to sing Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah. Awesome.
Very nice. The guy that sings Feliz Navidad.
It's a good get.
Guess what? That's the end of news.
Okay. What's next?
Reviews. And Shane's going to keep on talking. Guess what?
What?
Only one review this week. It's a fan-requested critique of the CBS sitcom Big Bang Theory.
Let's hear about it, Shane.
All right. It concerns two male prodigies in their 20s. 20s.
It's 20s. God, now it's 20s.
When we hit the post comes, we're in big trouble.
Oh, I know.
One experimental physicist by the name of Leonard and the other a theoretical physicist by the name of Sheldon.
They're a practical physicist?
I don't know. They work at Caltech. I believe that's in California.
Ooh.
And they live across the hall from a blonde waitress with showbiz aspirations. Her name is Penny.
How's that working out for her?
She formerly starred, I don't even know her name, but she starred on the John Ritter show, How to Date Your Daughter, or whatever it is.
Okay.
Leonard and Sheldon's geekiness and intellect are contrasted with Penny's social skills and common sense for comedic effect. Two equally geeky friends of theirs, Howard and Rajesh, are also main characters. So in our first clip from a recent episode, the guys figure out a way to market Penny's hairpins to appeal to the male gender.
I'm still tweaking things a little bit, but this will give you the general idea of the website.
And they're in a can.
From a coffee can. He's tweaking a website,
What do you guys think?
Pretty much any way I say that is going to hurt his feelings.
It's good stuff.
Okay, bonus
laughs.
What's
wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Not you. I wasn't asking you. Penny?
Wow, big laughs.
Kind of looks like the MySpace page of a 13-year-old girl.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, please. Dateline could use it to attract predators.
Laughs.
It's a very funny show, Shane. Very funny.
This is your enterprise, so it's ultimately your decision. But based on the quality of his work, I'd strongly recommend that we let Leonard go.
You want to fire me?
What I want is irrelevant. This is Penny's decision. Penny?
Excuse me, but if I did such a bad job, then why do we already have orders?
We do?
Uh-huh. Look. Mrs. Fiona Fondell from Huntsville, Alabama has ordered two.
No kidding, two?
Uh-huh. Look at the comments.
Thank you, Penny Blossoms. These will be perfect to cover my bald spots.
It's a long clip.
That is so sweet.
It is.
You think Chewbacca would laugh at this?
Bald spots. It's primarily a male concern. Perhaps we can expand our market.
How are flower barrettes going to appeal to men?
We add Bluetooth. Brilliant. brilliant. Men love Bluetooth.
Wait a minute. You want to make a hair barrette with Bluetooth?
I don't have any Bluetooth.
Everything is better with Bluetooth.
Okay, enough of that.
That's the end of it. The big joke is the Bluetooth at the end.
Yeah. I guess I gave a poor description. Hey, our our second clip is kind of a wacky edited clip from Big Bang Theory. Let's see. It's about how the guys settle their differences.
How about we go rock, paper, scissors?
Ooh, I don't think so. I suggest rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Mixed with Seinfeld.
Scissors cuts paper. Paper covers rock. Rock crushes lizard. Lizard poisons Spock. Spock smashes scissors. Scissors decapitates lizard. Lizard eats paper. Paper disproves Spock. Spock vaporizes rock. And as it always has, rock crushes scissors.
Rock and roll.
Okay, got it.
Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
They both did Spock. Guess what?
Yeah.
Funny stuff.
I'm not going to watch the Clone Wars TV series until I've seen the Clone Wars movie. I prefer to let George Lucas disappoint me in the order he intended.
Now that's funny, Jared.
That's decent.
I get 9 points. I believe we've arrived at another quintessential rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock moment.
Watch whatever you want.
He gave up.
Okay, who gets the extra dumping?
Rock, paper, scissors, Spock! Okay, one of us is going to have to stop putting up Spock.
How do we decide that?
Rock, paper, scissors, Spock!
They all love the Spock.
They do. Big Bang Theory can be seen every Monday evening on the CBS television network. Jared, you are a big geek. You watch television.
Gigantic geek. I didn't get late till I was 20.
You watch television. You have Bluetooth. I know.
I have used Bluetooth.
You walk around. You've got your Bluetooth headset in your ear all the time.
I've only ever worn my Bluetooth headset in my own home, and that was because I was on long conversations and didn't want to hold the handset to my head.
Who were you talking to at that time?
I was talking to Angela.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock. Jared, what do you think of this show? Uh-oh, Shane. Big sigh.
Shane. I've tried to be fair to the show. Back when this show debuted last year, or 2006 or whenever it was, I watched the pilot episode and I hated it. Hated the pilot episode and vowed not to watch the show. Now, many people have since come to me and said, oh, the pilot was bad, but it got much, much better after that. So,
Strangers on the Street? Jared,
no.
You look like this show might appeal
Friends.
To you.
Yeah, it was a in-depth marketing team that came door-to-door, Shane. That was the third visitor I had yesterday.
Friends, you mean friend? A friend, your friend came
I've
up to?
I've had other people say,
okay,
you should be watching this show. And so I caught a half an episode a few months back, and I'm like, nope, this isn't this
Still
isn't,
this didn't work. It didn't take for you.
Nope. And then when the listener suggested we review the show, I watched the prescribed episode. Mm-hmm. And now I understand that this was one of the worst episodes of the season. This was the one I saw was there was paintball.
Yeah, that was really
was,
bad.
The I forget their names.
Sheldon,
I think, doesn't like
Leonard.
His seat cushion. His, yeah. Whatever. And I thought it was terrible. I thought the laughs were forced. I didn't think the writing was very good. The supporting characters are thinly developed, and I didn't enjoy
stereotypical shells, perhaps.
I guess, yeah. And I didn't like the show. Now I can appreciate that they get the geek stuff right. You know, when they're referring to things, they're referring to it in the correct manner.
When they interact with things, it's usually in the correct manner.
Yeah,
they go to a pretty good effort to get that level of detail correct. And I've watched a lot of
the show gets points for that. But I find the fact that Sheldon likes to over explain things in great detail to be kind of a tiring device that they use an awful lot. And I don't know. I have only watched a couple episodes, but it doesn't feel like the characters are very well fleshed out and that, like, there isn't a lot of story there. And I think what really grates on me is the fact that the laugh track and the fact that how they edit it, they make you feel like every single line of dialogue is not only funny, but it's equally funny.
You know, we talk about this a lot, and that is the state of the common sitcom, the state of the union for the common sitcom. And I think that we as viewers have become sophisticated, you know, over the past 10-15 years more sophisticated than we have in the past. So these shows that unfold like plays, where everything is over-exaggerated and, you know, you've got the big laughs and, you know, things aren't... I mean, it's a bizarro world. I mean, sitcoms, they exist in a bizarro world of reality. So, you know, we're used to sitcoms that... or funny shows that, you know, take place in a slightly skewed version of our world, but really we could exist in those. And The Big Bang Theory doesn't quite have that. And it's not quite as clever how it executes compared to, like, How I Met Your Mother, which... isn't filmed in front of a live studio audience, and they do a lot of cuts and a lot of stuff that just make it, that differentiate it from what a standard sitcom is. So right. Yeah, I think it struggles.
It does not quite into the single camera realm, like Your Office, your 30 Rock and all that, but it's definitely different.
Yes. And I think that of the standard sitcoms that are out there that I've seen, Big Bang Theory is probably the best one of the bunch, but that's not necessarily saying, you know, heaping it with high praise. I'm just saying, compared to what the other things are out there, it's better than Girlfriends. I'll tell you that much right now.
Well, that's definitely.
I agree with Jared on the take of the nerds. I think that they do a good job with the geek stuff on there, although I am bothered by the stereotypes of all the geeks. I mean, every single one of these guys you could find in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. And, you know, I've been to a lot of conventions. I know a lot of geeky people, and... no one's really quite like that, any of those guys. Like, you know, Johnny, let's see here. Let me look at my names here. Leonard, you know, he's played by Johnny Galecki, who was Darlene's boyfriend on Roseanne. She is actually on the show from time to time. He's kind of the normal nerd, the normal geek. But even he kind of talks with this nasally weird voice, which I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk
with. No, it's weird. It's amplified when you hear just the audio. Yeah. You're like, what, really?
You know, I've met people like Sheldon, maybe not quite so whatever, but he's a little bit more normal. But then you've got the Indian guy, and then you've got the super nerd, Howard, who he dresses in such a nerdy way that you couldn't find those clothes. To dress like that would take effort. And geeks don't do that. They don't dress for effort. They just, you know, dress for what's
just
available.
For comfort. They're just for, you know. I will say that... The Indian character, having worked with a number of Indians in the tech sector with my job, I'm not actually bothered by him that much because they actually kind of are like that.
Yeah, he's in the ballpark. He might be a little hipper. I mean, I work with Indian people and people from Pakistan as well. And you know what? It's all over the place in terms of you know, just behavior and whatever. So, I mean, I think that's fine. I think that it sort of makes me raise my eyebrows to think, you know, that they're sort of playing into these stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the relationship between Leonard and Penny is kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of that, you know, there's an attraction there, and she's open-minded enough to be maybe interested in one of the geek guys, but they don't really push it too far. I think they do a pretty good job with that. I think she's an okay actress. I don't know. I don't really know what else to say. I think that why my wife likes the show a lot.
This is what I don't understand is how people like it a lot. And there's people who are, I mean, I can understand liking the show and going, hey, this is cool, let's watch this. There's a lot of people who really, really love this show, and that I don't understand.
It's very broad, and I think that it plays into stereotypical beliefs of what geeks are.
Okay.
I think Carrie likes it.
I know geeks who are like really love this
show.
That
surprises me. Yeah. I mean, I think that they may like it, but
I've also been accused of not being geeky enough, and that's why I don't like the show.
I think the show is too broad, and I think that it doesn't really represent geeks in a super accurate way. But I think the reason why, like, my wife likes it, for instance, is because she recognizes things in it. Like, hey, my husband kind of does that stuff sometimes. So that's funny, you know, and I get that reference. So
I think she can laugh at it going, oh, I'm not a geek, but I know people who are like this.
Exactly.
So no, this is funny.
So that's, and I think that hits that broad spectrum. So, hey, more power to you. Like I said, my opinion, best standard sitcom out there, but it could be a lot better.
Okay.
Let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 2 stars.
Sort of a C-ish sort of.
That's average.
Mm-hmm.
2 is average.
I'll take it.
On our scale.
So who knows what we will review next episode, Jared. But I do know that
it might be on this list coming up.
It's coming soon. I've talked so much, my throat's starting to hurt a little bit.
I know.
Bit
it's,
here, Jared.
It's time for me to take over for you, Shane.
Okay, thank you.
Tame, we've got the coming soon. I'm filling in for Adam. If you didn't know, Adam is out.
Adam is our third host of the show,
sure.
Jared.
His, you can find his photo on the website, mm-hmm. As well as his Twitter stream.
Nice.
Coming soon, Shane and Music, week of March 31st. That's the week of this show being released. Gomez is a new album with titled A New Tide. Prince comes out with his 3-disc album release. It's titled Lotus Flower / Minneapolis Sound, and that's a mixture of uppercase characters and numbers. He's very hip and trendy.
And that will be a Target exclusive, Jared. 3 discs for, I think, $11.
That's actually a great price.
It is a good price. But I've heard the album is hit or miss. And you know what?
Well, it's too much content. You know, he's got to edit it.
One of those albums is like of this protege, this woman.
Right.
And I hear that that's not very good.
Maybe that's the 3rd disc.
Yeah, that's not on there.
Okay. Peter Bjorn and John have an album called The Living Thing.
Breakout band from last year. I didn't really like them all that much, but they're back with more.
I don't know much about them. And the Yeah Yeah Yeahs have their 3rd album, It's Blitz. And I'm hearing this is a very different sound for them.
It's very kind of techno-y, disco-y, electric,
yeah.
Not quite as harsh.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But I honestly, their last couple albums, I haven't loved to death. There's been some standout tracks, though. So
Was their last album like Gold Lion or
yeah.
something like that? I didn't like that album at all. The album prior to that, it was the one that had Maps on mm-hmm. it. It had 2 good songs on it, but Maps is a classic song, so suck it.
Right. Week of April 7th, Doves has Kingdom of Rust.
Big fans right here in the Scope Studios.
I've only have one of their albums. I don't know how many they have out. But it's been a while.
Do you have their last album?
Probably not.
They have some good tunes, Jared.
I like the one album I have. I just didn't. I stopped paying attention.
Dig into the catalog.
Neil Young, Fork in the Road.
Yeah.
The Hold Steady with Positive Rage.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big Hold Steady fan?
Not a huge.
I haven't. I hear good things, but I haven't really gotten into them. And Bob Mould releases Life and Times.
People love Bob Mould.
They do.
Mould.
I don't know. I'm
not a fan.
Yeah. I don't hate him, but. I don't know. I guess I haven't spent much time with
him. You don't love him.
Motion Picture Shane, April 3rd, you've got the release of Adventureland. James finds gainful employment at a local amusement park. Totally rad.
Yeah.
I think this has a good cast. It has what your Bill Hader. It's got your Kristen Wiig. It looks like a lot of fun.
Seems to take place in the 80s, and you know me with those 80s throwback movies.
Can't get enough.
Love it.
Can't get enough. And also, because I know you're a fan, Fast and Furious 4.
Ugh.
The Return of Vin Diesel.
Are they calling it Fast and Furious 4? Or just Fast and Furious?
Shane, I only know what's on the page.
Yeah, I called it Fast and Furious 4, but it was listed as Fast and Furious, so I was confused. And I think the commercials I've seen say Fast and Furious.
Are they remaking the first one?
I don't know.
Has it been that long? Is it due for a remake already?
I hated the first one, by the way.
I never saw it.
I did not get it.
I have no desire to indulge in the series at all, honestly. April 10th, Dragon Ball Evolution actually comes out. Well, you have April 8th, but it has been pushed to the 10th, Shane. My sources say it's been pushed
to Friday. Okay, it's been pushed.
Yep. Observe and Report. Seth Rogen is a mall cop who likes to observe Anna Faris. What's it with the mall cop movies?
I think coincidental, but I kind of thought the trailer was sort of funny.
Yeah, but I don't know. Sometimes you have these movies that come out in pairs. I mean, you had your Armageddon and your Deep Impact, and you had your Schindler's List and your, I don't know.
Trying to think of a correlating movie.
Yeah, I was going to try to mix them up, but not that quick.
Bug's Life.
Don't forget Hannah Montana the movie. Also comes out April 10th. You can probably get tickets for that now. I would suggest buying early because it's probably going to sell.
Did you hear how she was going to ruin Radiohead?
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm not sure how much she's kidding and how serious she thinks she is. But if she can't ruin Radiohead, I'm sorry.
I dislike her so much. She's done.
She's really full of herself.
She's dead in my eyes. I'm going to write a fanfic about her.
Do it. Shane, there's also DVDs coming out.
Good.
March 31st, you've got Hope and Faith Season 1. Is that sitcom?
We reviewed that show, Jared.
Yeah, it didn't go well, did it? That had
Kelly Ripa and the Corky from, what's her face, from
right.
Faith Ford from, I can't remember the show,
didn't
Murphy
like
Brown.
It was bad.
No, it was not good.
Real Ghostbusters Volume 1.
Mm-hmm. Finally out on DVD.
And Slumdog Millionaire. Academy Award winning Slumdog Millionaire.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah.
You should rent it, Jared. I think you might like it.
I would like to see that, and I'll be happy about that. April 7th, the day the Earth stood still.
You'll say, it's not worth the hype. You're going to be real contrary.
I probably will. The day the Earth stood still, that's the remake of 2008 with Keanu Reeves.
That's the only way I'll ever see that movie, if that happens.
I would see the original. I don't want to see the remake at all.
Don't care.
I hear it's terrible. A movie called Donkey Punch. I'm unfamiliar with this film.
I just
should I know it?
I've heard of it, and I thought it was a funny name, so we wanted Donkey Punch.
Doubt Mysteries or Doubt Mysterious. Oh, that's is that two different? No, you see, you've
no, I'm sorry, it's two words. So Doubt.
Now, I'm not sure if this is intentional or if you just got some weird breaks going on here. Doubt.
Yeah.
And you've got Mysterious Cities of Gold.
Oh, yes. That's a bad break. I'm sorry. Doubt is the Oscar-nominated
right.
movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mysterious Cities of Gold is the Nickelodeon animated program, which a lot of people were clamoring for.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Are you?
No.
You didn't have cable. You were a Jehovah's Witness.
Right. I didn't get cable until I was well into high school.
Wow.
To be honest. Yes, Man. I'm not familiar with this film.
That is the Jim Carrey movie where he cannot say anything but yes.
Right. Okay.
Are you familiar with it now?
Yeah, it's like Liar, Liar, but different. And The Tales of Despero. Great CG animated film.
My daughter wants to see that movie. Go figure.
Well, most kids.
The mouse with bigger ears than me.
Shane, video games are coming out.
They are.
Week of March 29th, you've got Guitar Hero Metallica.
Oh, yes.
I tried downloading the demo, and then I stopped it because it was like over a gig. I'm like, screw it.
You're just playing Metallica songs.
I know. It's Guitar Hero. I'm sad that we missed out on the Guitar Hero World Tour for $25, though.
I probably would have gotten that for $25.
I probably would have, too.
Then I would have downloaded the free You've Got the Touch song.
Yeah, baby. Also, Gardening Mama for DS comes out that week. Week of April 5th, The Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Dark Athena. Honestly, The Chronicles of Riddick is still in people's minds.
What system is that for?
That's for Xbox 360, PC, and PS3.
That is a redo of the Chronicles of Riddick game, which was a cult classic. Like, people loved it, and so they're redoing it, and it's supposed to be a great game, actually.
Are they doing another movie, too, or something?
I don't know. Yeah. But it's supposed to be a really good game.
You also have The Godfather 2 for Xbox.
That's supposed to be a terrible
PC
game.
PC and PS3.
No thanks.
Hannah Montana the Movie, Shane.
That's for you.
You can play the game and watch the movie. That's for PS3, at Xbox 360, Wii, and DS. Guilty Gear XX, 2X, was that 20? I don't know what that is. Accent Core Plus for PSP and PS2. And Rhythm Heaven for the DS.
Nice.
What's Rhythm Heaven?
It's a rhythm game for the DS.
Does it involve angels?
Yes. We'll say yes.
That's it for Coming Soon, Shane.
Wow, good job, Jared.
Thanks.
Coming Soon is over.
Yeah.
Under the Scope is over.
Yeah.
Under the Scope. People don't know it, but we don't edit this show, Jared.
You'd be surprised. I mean, it's so tight.
That rapport is so tight.
There's got to be some editing going on.
We never talk over each other.
Never.
There's never awkward stuff.
You go ahead, Jared.
Why don't you go ahead, Jared?
Okay,
it's your turn.
I got some comments here.
Read some comments.
Right.
That's not edited.
David Bishop comments on the... I'm lucky I saw this. I went to the Facebook group and saw this comment.
Oh, Facebook.
That's where it commented. Yeah. He says, long episode, yes, but always nice to hear Earl. Earl, you should have stepped on that cock gobbler's potato. He edited it out, but I filled in the blanks.
Nice.
Although, it sounds like you gave him a proper tongue lashing at least. I'm assuming he's talking about the Joker in our MarsCon report.
Yeah, and by tongue lashing, he doesn't mean licking his taint, does he?
I don't know what he means, honestly. I'm not going to try to... I'm not going to guess at what his intent is, Shane. He very well could mean licking
his
taint.
I wonder if Earl has some sexy story, like anger sex with the Joker.
Oh, my goodness. Could you imagine that?
Earl in his sexy little red jumpsuit.
John Norton, you have another slash fic assignment now.
Yep.
Earl and the Joker.
Earl dressed up as $6 million man in his red jumpsuit. Angry sex.
Do it. I want to report next episode.
We'll email it to Earl, too.
Right. I want to hear it. It's more fun when John reads it, though.
Okay, I like it.
Another comment from Keith F. This just came in.
Hot off the press.
He says, another great episode, boys. If Adam ever does decide to leave the Scope and you guys have tryouts for his replacement, give me a call or an email or a call because I'd love to read the news and give witty feedback.
Now, you know what? We've probably got like 4 show ideas right there. Tryouts to replace Adam.
Yeah. While Adam's here.
Yeah, while he's here.
Before he's even declared that he's leaving the show. It's perfect.
I like it. Well, Keith, awesome. Keep working on your radio voice. Hello.
Yeah. And he also says, and after listening to the past few years of MarsCon-related podcasts, I'm thinking I might have to swing by to not only visit with the Scope, but party it up with other nerds like myself. Keith, you definitely should. It's
do
a
we
good
know
time.
Do we know this Keith? Is he friends of Adam? Or is he just a great listener?
I don't know if I know him. I'm trying to think if I know any Keiths. The only Keith I know is in Voltron.
Maybe Keith can form Blazing Sword. Maybe Keith could do he could do Hit the Post someday if he thinks he's such a smart
there
guy.
There you go, Keith.
That could be his
that
challenge.
Could be your audition.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you also want to audition to be the third host of The Scope, you can send us an email at comments@thescopeshow.com. You can comment at the blog. You can call our voicemail number 646-495-9201 extension 70055 or join our Facebook group.
If you want to sign up and volunteer to be or try out for the second host of the show, because I'm going to be kicking Jared off after that.
Actually, don't forget, I actually host the show in my house, so that could be a complication if you get rid of me.
Can you run the board?
I'm thinking of switching the group. I don't know if I'm going to switch it over. I don't think you can do that. But creating a fan page, because that seems like a better way to actually work with the fans.
Okay, let's do a fan page.
We should do that.
Fan base.
Yeah, join our fan base.
Okay, do that. That's going to be your job for the week.
And our iTunes reviews hold steady at 22.
If you're not going to give us a good review, please don't put one up there.
I want honest reviews, Shane. I don't care if you think we are arrogant jerks.
I want honestly awesome reviews. That's what I want.
Okay, well,
that's the reality.
We're going to have to differ on that one.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Very, very exciting. I want to make one programming note. As I've said many, many times, and this time I mean it, next show is all about the listeners.
Unless we come up with something else.
I'm making no effort.
Okay, is it still going to be a two-show extravaganza, or is it just one?
I don't think it'll be a two-show extravaganza. Okay. So
are you saying the listeners have let us down? They haven't sent in enough stuff?
Well, if they start sending in... put that thought on hold, Jared. Okay. We'll talk offline about that. So send in any questions you want answered about us here at The Scope. God knows we've proven that we're very, very boring. And
Adamatic is clearly the star.
If we can't tell compelling sex stories, what in the hell can we do? Adamatic, your final words before we sign off for the day?
Adamatic. Write in, bitches.
What did he say?
He says, I don't know.
Write in, bitches.
He says, write in, bitches.
Write in, bitches. All right. You heard it from the fake computer guy. Write in, bitches.
Right.
So, Jared, for myself, for you, and Adamatic, I want to thank everyone for being here for 69. We'll hit you in a new position next show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201 extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, Das Vidanya. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.